Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Amen.
Today's first reading, taken from the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, chapter 47, the prophet is brought to the temple in Jerusalem, and there he sees water flowing out from the right side of the temple. He says that in verse 2. The water begins as a trickle and grows into a stream, at first ankle deep, verse 3, and then knee deep, verse 4. Then it becomes a river that could only be crossed by swimming, says the prophet in verse 5. If you want to understand this imagery, we have to actually open up the New Testament, particularly the writings of the Apostle St. John, where, first off, the Apostle tells us towards the beginning of his Gospel that the body of Jesus Christ is the new temple of God. We read that in John 2, verse 21. Then towards the end of his Gospel, we hear that as Jesus hung dead upon the cross, a soldier pierced his side, and out of Jesus' side came blood and water. We read that in John 19, verse 34. So the vision of the prophet Ezekiel of water flowing out of the side of God's temple is actually a symbolic representation of the water that flowed out of the side of Christ's body on Calvary. That's the first point to keep in mind. And our Lord even said in John 7, verse 38, he said, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water." And following on that, today's responsorial psalm, taken from Psalm 46, says, if you read it according to the Grail translation of the Psalms, it says, "The waters of a river give joy to God's city, the holy place where the Most High dwells." Psalm 46, verse 5. So what does that water which flows from the side of the temple and from the heart of Christ and gives joy to God's city, what does that actually symbolize? St. John says in John 7, verse 39, that it symbolizes the Holy Spirit. And in particular, it symbolizes the sacrament of baptism and the grace of God coming from the sacraments. Remember that our Lord told Nicodemus that he must be born of water and the Spirit in order to enter the kingdom of God. He said that in John 3, verse 5, so that's baptism. And then in the next chapter, we heard Jesus promise the Samaritan woman living water. He said in John 4, 11. And he says that whoever drinks of the water that he will give will never thirst, but the water he gives will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life. John 4, verse 14. Again, that's the grace of the Holy Spirit that our Lord is talking about. And as another side note, which we'll come back to shortly, we should keep in mind in all of this the Garden of Paradise in the book of Genesis. We read in Genesis 2:10 that a river watered the Garden of Eden. So we go from there and we move to the vision of Ezekiel. We see another river in the Jerusalem, watering Jerusalem, which is the city of God. And we'll see where that leads to in a minute. So this will be a multi-layered reflection. If you're able to follow us, it'll be impressive. If not, then it'll be over in a few minutes, we promise. So just be patient. So if we return back to the first reading, we see the water coming out of the temple, which symbolizes, again, the grace of the Holy Spirit and the sacraments. That water coming out of the temple turns into a river, which waters very many trees, says Ezekiel in Ezekiel 47, verse 7. It also makes salt waters fresh, he says in verse 8, and it gives life to every creature that it touches, verse 9. And in his vision, the prophet sees fruit trees of every kind along the banks of the river. He says that the leaves of those trees shall not fade, nor their fruit fail. Every month they shall bear fresh fruit, and their fruit shall serve as food, and their leaves for medicine. Ezekiel 47, verse 12. Anyone who's familiar with the Old Testament actually hears an echo of Psalm 1 in Ezekiel's description. The first psalm, Psalm 1, verse 3, says that a righteous man, quote, is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. Very similar to what Ezekiel explained in his vision. Not only that, but the whole imagery that the prophet shares with us in today's reading is found in another part of the Bible, a very important part. It's actually found in the last two chapters of the last book, the book of Revelation, written again by St. John the Evangelist. In Revelation 21, after Satan is defeated and after the dead are judged, St. John has a vision of the new heaven and the new earth where all of creation is renewed and transformed and made radiant with the glory of God. It's no longer a world subject to death, to decay, and suffering. And in this vision, St. John is told by an angel. The angel says, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." Revelation 21, verse 9. And the bride of Christ is, it's the new Jerusalem. It's actually the holy heavenly city. St. John writes, "And in the Spirit he carried me away to a high, great mountain and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal," says the Apostle. Revelation 21, verses 10 and 11. And what does St. John say that he finds in the New Jerusalem? Well, first he tells us what he doesn't find. He says in Revelation 21, verse 22, he says, "And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb." In theological terms, this means that our union with God in heaven will no longer be mediated. So we'll no longer need to go to the temple or to the church to have access to God, because we will see him face to face. We'll be totally immersed in God in heaven. But then St. John tells us in the next chapter that he did find something familiar and something special in the New Jerusalem. He says this, "Then he," meaning his guide, "showed me the river of the water of life." That's actually the same river, again, that Ezekiel saw. "Bright as crystal," says St. John, "flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city." Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2. Again, it's that spring, it's that spring of living water that Jesus even talked about in the Gospel of John. It harkens back, again, to what Ezekiel saw in his vision. And going back even further, you go back to the book of Genesis, just as a river flowed through the Garden of Eden and watered it. We read that in Genesis 2, verse 10. So now at the end of time, there's another river flowing through the new and eternal paradise, the New Jerusalem, to water it as well. And then St. John says he sees something in the city that hasn't been seen in the Bible since the third chapter of the book of Genesis. He writes this, quote, "Also on either side of the river was the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations," he says, Revelation 22, verses 2 and 3. And notice that the description of the tree of life that he gives there is, again, very similar to what the prophet Ezekiel saw in his vision, when he said that, quote, "The leaves of those trees shall not fade, nor their fruit fail. Every month they shall bear fresh fruit, and their fruit shall serve as food, and their leaves for medicine." Again, that was Ezekiel 47, verse 12. So what St. John sees in his vision is almost word for word what the prophet saw 600 years before. So from the river of Jerusalem, the river in the New Jerusalem, from the water of life, which again, are the waters of baptism and the grace of the Holy Spirit, from that water comes the tree of life, again, which hasn't been seen since the beginning of Revelation, the book of Genesis. God had barred the way to the tree of life after the fall. Now in the new paradise, we have access to it. Again, we can eat from that tree again. And St. John says that the tree of life has 12 kinds of fruit. You know what that symbolizes? The 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. And if that weren't enough symbolism for you, we'll just throw in one more at the end here. "Just as Adam and Eve sewed together fig leaves to cover their nakedness after sinning," we remember that in Genesis 3, verse 7. "So now the leaves from the tree of life will not just cover us, but they'll actually heal us. They will heal the nations," says the apostle, meaning that in heaven, there will be a complete healing of our bodies, our souls, our spirits, and of all of our relations with everyone as well. Peace and harmony and everlasting happiness and joy will be ours thanks to the river of living water that first came forth from the side of the Savior, from the side of Jesus Christ on Calvary. So today let's thank Our Lady for the grace and the blessing to be able, one, to be baptized, greatest grace we've ever had to be baptized, and two, also for the grace to reflect on these wonderful truths. And let's also ask her to live with our hearts set on the heavenly Jerusalem. When we do that, when we put our hearts in the right place, it helps put all the other difficulties in this life in their proper perspective. Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Amen.